All right, Rabbi, we'll say good morning. Let's begin a lot to do today. Today's daf is Mem Test 49. We are picking up on Mem Ches Amud Beis 48b. And we are picking up four lines up from the bottom. B'Savar Rabbi Yossi. Oh, okay. Thank you. Yeah, positive. Thank you. Thank you so much. B'Savar Rabbi Yossi. So it says the Gemara as well. Remember again, we left off with an interesting machlokes, or a supposed machlokes, between Rabbi Yossi and the Rabbanan about the concept of ze v'ze gorem. Where did this come up, Rabbi Yossi? This came up in the situation, ultimately, again, the Mishnah told me as follows. According to the Rabbanan, I could plant vegetables underneath an asherah during the winter, but not during the summer. The logic being that during the summer, the shade is beneficial to the vegetables growing under, and therefore that's called benefit from the asherah. The winter, the shade is actually detrimental. Shade is actually detrimental, and therefore, again, I can go ahead and plant the vegetables underneath. Rabbi Yossi comes along and says, no, even during the winter, you can't plant the vegetables. Why? Because during the winter, the leaves fall and effectively serve to fertilize the vegetables. So the Gemara wanted to suggest the as follows, that really the machlokes in Rabbi Yossi and the Rabbanan is a machlokes in ze v'ze gorem. What happens when you have two causative factors, when you have two things that result in the creation of an entity, one of them permitted, one of them forbidden? What is the nature of the final product? So the Gemara is suggesting, if that's not Machlokes Rabbi Yossi and the Rabbanan, the Rabbanan say, Zev is a gorem mutter. Therefore, again, even though the leaves might be fertilizing the vegetables, it's not only the leaves by themselves which create the vegetables. What else is it? It's also the soil. The soil itself is permitted. So the permitted soil combined with the forbidden leaves is called Zev Zegorim. The Rabbanan say that mixture allows the final product to be mutter. Rabbi Yossi, on the other hand, holds Zev Zegorim Aser, or at least that's what we're supposing right now. When you have two causative factors, one of them prohibited, the end result is going to be Aser. So the Gemara questions this. Sorry, we'll say, Simem Cheslan Beis 48b, four lines up from the bottom. So Rabbi Yossi, Zev Zegorim Aser. Is that true that Rabbi Yossi holds Zev Zegorim Aser? We'll say that when you have two causative factors in the creation of an entity, one of them permitted, one of them forbidden, that the final product will be forbidden. Does he really hold that? So says the Gemara, after all, Vatanya, we learned, Rabbi Yossi Omer, Notin Yichor Shel Arla, Vein Notin Egos Shel Arla, Mipnei Shupri. So we'll say that Allah is Arla, first 3 years of the new fruit. So one is not permitted to go ahead and eat the fruit or get benefits from the fruit. You can get benefit, however, from the tree itself. So says the Gemara, what can you do? Rabbi Yossi says, Notin Yichor Shel Arla, Vein Notin Egos Shel Arla. So you could plant, we'll say, like a branch of an Arla tree in order to create a new tree. But you can't plant, we'll say, Egos is literally a nut. What it means is the pre. You can't get benefits from the pre by planting the pre in order to create new peros. Divnei Shupri, Rabbi Yehuda, Amrav, Mod Rabbi Yossi, Shemnota, Vehivrich, Vehirkiv, Mutter, B'yet Rabbi Yossi, that's what Rabbi Yossi, that if you did plant the pre, right, or you did go ahead and graft the pre, that the result ultimately, again, will be Mutter. Look at Rashi, Shemnota, Ha'egos shall arla mutter. So mostly Rabbi Yossi does hold, however, that halach lemaisa, if you go ahead and you plant the nut of arla, that ultimately, again, it will be mutter. So again, l'chatchila, one can't plant the pre of arla in order to produce something additional. But Rabbi Yossi says, if you did do it, the resulting product will be mutter. Rabbi Yossi, what does that show you? What does that show you? That in Rabbi Yossi's worldview, zev zegorem is mutter. Because Rabbi Yossi, if you take the forbidden orla fruit and you plant it in the soil and something issues forth, that new entity is a result of what? Is a result of the prohibited orla fruit, but also of what? Of the permitted soil. So you see that Rabbi Yossi says, therefore, it's mutter. Why? Because zev zegorem is mutter. Look at the last Rashi. Shem nata ego shar arla mutter. Therefore, again, when you go ahead and you plant the egos of arla, the resulting fruit is going to be mutter. Kigadlo ilan vetan peros havalu hanach peros bigarma de egos de iser Vikarka deheter, vikatani mutter. So Moshe, you just got finished telling me that according to Rabbi Yossi, zev zegorim is aser. That's why he goes ahead and he says that you can't plant the vegetables underneath the asherah tree, even during the winter, because the leaves serve to fertilize the fruit, the vegetables. Even though, again, the soil is permitted, the introduction of the prohibited leaves says zev zegorim is aser. But yet, here you see by the case of Arla, Rabbi Yossi says, as much as you're not permitted to plant fruit of Arla, if you did it, the resulting growth will be mutter. And we assume the reason for that is because you have two factors, the forbidden Arla fruit, but the permitted soil. And yet Rabbi Yossi holds that the result is mutter, which seems to say that what? Zev zegorim is mutter. So which one is it? To which the Gemara says, ultimately, again, same idea, a brisa that says that if Rabbi Yossi went ahead and took the fruit of the olive tree and he planted it or he grafted it, the resulting fruit is mutter. See, according to this, that Rabbi Yossi would hold that zev zegorim is going to be mutter. V'chitema shani le Rabbi Yossi bein sharis ruin avodas kochavim. So, okay, maybe there's a simple resolution. Maybe Rabbi Yossi normally holds zev zegorim is mutter, but when it comes to Avodah Zarah, Isurim Avodah Zarah, he'll say zev zegorim is aser. Which I will say is not such a wild, suggestion, because Avodah Zarah we already see is treated in a more chamerdika manner. So maybe that's the resolution. That's why by Arla he'll hold zev zegorim is really mutter. Only by Avodah Zarah he'll zev zegorim is aser, which again, so we'll say, just we keep our train of thought. That's why he holds in the case of the vegetables that you can't plant it underneath the Asherah tree, even during the winter when the shade is detrimental to the tree. Why? Because the leaves will serve to fertilize the vegetables. So the Gemara says, one second. Umishanile, is that true that Rabbi Yossi would make a distinction between Avodah Zarah and other things? After all, Tanya, listen to this. Sodeshin is dablo bezevel Avodah Kochavim. I said, let's see, you have a field which was fertilized by the manure of Avodah Kochavim. So we'll say the simplest case of this is what? You have an animal which was worshipped as a deity, and the animal walks on my field, and as it walks on my field, it fertilizes my field. So we'll say, so what's that? So again, so if you have a field that was fertilized by an animal of Avodah Zarah, or V'chein Parah, Shenispatma Bekarshine Avodah Kochavim, or I will say, let's say again, someone fed my cow Avodah Zarah food, whatever the food is, right? With karshin literally is like vetch, animal feed. So somebody fed my animal Avodah Zarah food. So we'll say, so now what's the shayla? The shayla is, what's the status of my cow? What's the status of my field? So we'll say we have two different brises. Tani chada, sada tizra, parati shachet. So we'll say one opinion says, it's fine, you can use the field, and the animal can be consumed. V'tanya idach, I also listen to this, you have another brisa that says, sadet tavor, you have to allow the field to lay fallow, you can't do anything with the field because the field was fertilized by Avodah Zarah. Upara tiraza, what does para tiraza mean? My cow goes on a diet. What does it mean my cow goes on a diet? That I can't partake of my cow, can't get benefit of the cow, until the cow loses the weight from the Avodah Zarah food that it consumed. Okay, whatever it is, it gets on the treadmill and it burns off, you know, gives you the calorie count. Right, it goes ahead and tells me how many calories it burnt off, then I can eat the para. So Gemara says, we'll say, so we have two different prices that tell me two dramatically different things. So again, remember, my field is being fertilized by Avodah Zarah. My animal is eating Avodah Zarah food. What's the status of the field? What's the status of the cow? Price number one, no problem. Field is permitted, cow is permitted. Brisa number two, field must lay fallow, cow must lose weight. So we'll say, how do we reconcile the two brisos? So we assumed, my love, harabi osiva harabanam. So we'll say, so we assume the resolution to this is very simple. One reflects the view of Rabbi Yossi, one reflects the view of the Rabbanan. What's machlokis Rabbi Yossi and the Rabbanan? It's machlokis of zev zegorim. When you have two causative factors which produce an end result, one of the factors is permitted, one is prohibited. What's the status of the end result? Rabbi Yossi, we assumed, held zev zegorim is aser. Therefore, Rabbi Yossi, in the case of my field that gets fertilized by Avodah Zarah, or my animal that eats Avodah Zarah food, ultimately, again, the field will be prohibited, the cow will be prohibited. The other brace that says that it's all permitted reflects the view of the Rabbanon. So again, I will say what we're saying over here is we have Rabbi Yossi on record as holding Zev Zegorim is Asur. You're trying to tell me that Rabbi Yossi really holds Zev Zegorim is Mutter. Maybe he just makes an exception by Avodah Zarah. To which the Gemara says, no. Ha Rabbi Elazar v'ha Rabbanon. So we'll say, so the Gemara says, no, these two brisos are actually not reflective of the Machlokis Rabbi Yossi and the Rabbanon, rather they're reflective of the Machlokis Rabbi Eliezer and the Rabbanon. So ask the Gemara, hey Rabbi Eliezer v'Rabbanon, which Rabbi Eliezer and the Rabbanon are you referring to? Ilema Rabbi Eliezer v'Rabbanon, this Sa'ar. So we'll say, if you want to say it's Rabbi Eliezer and the Rabbanon, by the Machlokis, by Sa'ar. So we'll say, that's the Machlokis by Sa'ar. This Nan. Sa'ar Shel Chulin, Vishal Truma, Shenafilosoki. So I will say, so Sa'ar in this context ultimately again means yeast. So let's say again you have yeast of chulin, right? Regular yeast and truma. I will say now the problem with truma is if I'm not a Kohen and truma gets mixed in with my food, we've got problems. We've got problems, right? It's only bottled in a very, very high shear. So the Gemara says as follows. So let's say again, Sa'ar of chulin and Sa'ar of truma get mixed into my isa, and get mixed into my dough. Lo bezekadei lechametz, lo bezekadei lechametz. Well, let's listen to this. Now, neither amount of yeast on their own have enough to go ahead and cause my dough to become leavened. Right, the Moshe, right? That's the idea of yeast, right? Yeast causes it to become chametz. So, what happens? So, there's truma yeast, there's truma sa'ar, and there's chulin sa'ar. Fall into my dough. Neither by themselves has enough to make the dough chametz. But what happens? Then it's starful v'chintzu. Now, both say, but together, when they combine, now there's enough yeast to make my dough chametz. So, both say, so now what's the shayla? The shayla is, what's the status of the dough? Is the dough permitted because it's chulin? Or is it prohibited because it's truma? So the Gemara says, Rabbi Eliezer Omer, achar ha'acharon aniba. Rabbi Eliezer says something very interesting. He says, the status of the dough is determined by the last yeast to fall in. So whichever yeast was the last one to fall in, which I will say effectively is the one that allows it to become chametz, that's the one which determines the identity of the dough. Rashi says over here, achar acharon aniba. So we'll say it's a little bit, it's a cross from Tosas Dilma. Cross from Tosas Dilma. Achar acharon aniba, osa shenafal acharon, im shal chulin nafal acharon, bital asarishon amotel azarim, vim shal truma nafal acharon, asal azarim. So we'll say, so again, everything depends on the last entity ultimately to fall in. So the Gemara says, the Chacham say, bein shenafal isra l'chatchila, bein shenafal isra l'basof, eino asa. So we'll say, the Rabbanan say, whether again, it doesn't make a difference which order everything fell in, right? The dough will not be asr. Eino asr. Atshiehebo kedei lachametz. We'll say the Rabbanan say as follows. As long as the truma yeast that fell in does not have the capacity to make the dough chametz, then by definition, the dough will be permitted. Right? No matter what order the yeast fell in. As long as the truma yeast does not have the ability to go ahead and make the mixture chametz, ultimately, again, we're in good shape. The dough will be permitted. So it says, Gemara v'amra, Abaye Abaye says, lo shanu ela shekidem v'silekes ha'iser. Abaye says, when is this true? I will say, Abaye is modifying Rabbi Eliezer's opinion. So Rabbi Eliezer says, remember again, so according to according to the Chachamim say, as long as the Truma yeast did not have the ability to go ahead and what? Did not have the ability to go ahead and make the dough chametz, so by definition the dough will be permitted. Rabbi Eliezer says, we go after the acharon, we go after the last item, the last yeast introduced into the dough, that's the one which defines the identity of the dough. So Abaye comes along and says, when does Rabbi Eliezer say that we go after the last one, and if the last one is chulin, then the dough will be permitted? Lo shanu ela shekidem v'silek es ha'iser. That's only true if you had already removed the chametz yeast. Avalo kidem v'silek es ha'iser, aser. Rabbi Eliezer says, again, if at the time when the permitted yeast fell in, even though it's falling in second, the prohibited yeast is still there, ultimately, again, the dough will be aser. But take a look at Rashi. Rashi says over here, Avalim lo kidim v'silek esay, so it's the first white line in Rashi, Sha'af api shenafal heter lebasof, aser, tezeh v'zeh gorim aser, ulerabonon zeh v'zeh gorim mutter. So we'll say, watch this. Comes along Abaye, and Abaye says as follows. When do we say that according to Rabbi Eliezer, the last yeast creates the identity of the dough? That's only if the prohibited yeast fell in and was then removed. So therefore, the only thing you have left there is what? Is the permitted yeast. So as long as it fell in last, the permitted yeast fell in last, and the prohibited yeast was already removed, then the dough will be mutter. We'll say, what's the logic there? So according to Eliezer, if the prohibited yeast, if the truma yeast was still there, then what? That'd be zev zegorim. And Rabbi Eliezer holds that zev zegorim is aser. So we'll say, so you see over here that this is the machlokis, meaning the machlokis is not between Rabbi Yossi and the Rabbanon. Rather, who is it between? It's between Rabbi Eliezer and the Rabbanon. The Rabbanon holds zev zegorim is mutter, and I say the Rabbanon say, as long as the truma yeast doesn't have the ability to make the dough chametz on its own. So it's both yeasts working together in concert to make the dough chametz. That's called zev zegorim. They hold zev zegorim is mutter. Rabbi Eliezer, on the other hand, holds zev zegorim is aser. That's what Rabbi Eliezer says, as long as the permitted yeast falls in last and the prohibited yeast has already been removed, only then is the dough going to be permitted. So the Gemara says, Umimai, the time of Rabbi Eliezer, Kabaye. So we'll say, how do you know that Rabbi Eliezer's logic is like Abaye? That it's an issue of Zev, Zev, Goyim, and Zasser. Dilma, time of Rabbi Eliezer, Mishum, Da'acher, Acher, and Aniba. We'll say, now remember again, Abaye is the one who modifies Rabbi Eliezer's Shita. When Rabbi Eliezer says his Shita about the two yeast falling into the dough, all Rabbi Eliezer says is what? All Rabbi Eliezer's lashon was is achar achar aniba. The identity of the yeast is determined by the last yeast to fall in. So as long as it was the truma yeast and then the permitted yeast, the dough will be mutter. Abaye comes along and says that even in a case where it was the truma one and then the permitted one, so the permitted one fell in last, the dough is only mutter if you already removed the truma yeast. Says the Gemara, how do you know that? Maybe Shitas Rabbi Eliezer simply is that the identity of the dough is determined by the identity of the last yeast to fall into the mixture. Maybe there's nothing to do with Zev Zegorim Aser, to which the Gemara says, Dilma Taimedar Rabbi Eliezer Mishum Da Acher Acher Niba I Gomer. So the Gemara says, Igamer Beisura Asura V'Igamer Behetera Mutarin Bein Salke Bein lo salke. I will say everything is determined by what? By how the dough is finished off. If the dough is finished off with the permitted yeast, then the dough is permitted. If the dough is finished off by the prohibited yeast, then the dough is prohibited. Ella, Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbanan de'itzim. Rather, I will say, the Gemara suggests that the machlokis of Zev Zagorim is actually by the Rabbi Eliezer and the Rabbanan by the case of Eitzim. What's the case of Eitzim? It's actually the next Mishnah that we'll see. Disnan. Not all him and Eitzim Asura Bahana, but say if you went ahead and you removed wood from the Asherah tree, so the wood is going to be Asur Bahana, Hesik Ba Satanur, if you went ahead and you fired up an oven. So we'll say you took wood from an Asherah tree and you used it to fire up an oven. So Chadash Yutat, so we'll say if it's a new oven, so the new oven must be destroyed. So we'll see this in the next Mishnah, but when you created a new oven, so part of the way in which the kli was finished was you fired it up the first time. Remember, ovens were often made of earthenware, so the only way to fully finish the kli was to fire it up, and you would harden it through the fire. If you fired it up for the first time with Asherah wood, then the problem is you've completed the kli with Avodah Zarah, which means that now the kli itself is asur, it has to be smashed. Similarly, again, if you took an oven, you fired it up with Asherah wood, you baked bread, and it's asura. Ultimately, the bread will be prohibited. Asura ba'ano. The bread will be prohibited ba'ano. This arva ba'acherim. If that loaf of bread got mixed up with other loaves of bread, kulan asuros ba'ano. We'll say ultimately, again, all of the loaves will be asur ba'ano. All those will be asur ba'ano. So Rabbi Eliezer Omer, yolich hana'a liyamamelach. Rabbi Eliezer holds that the Hana ultimately again could be thrown into the Yamalach. So we'll discuss what that means What that means, what Eliezer holds, is you can take the value of the prohibited item, throw it away, discard it, and essentially get benefits from the rest of the, from the rest of the stuff. Let me clarify that again. The Rabbanan holder will say, that let's say again, I take a shayra wood, I go ahead and I fire up an oven. I bake a loaf of bread in that oven. Everyone agrees that what? That loaf of bread is going to be aser. Because it was baked with avodah zara wood. We'll say, now what happens? That loaf of bread gets mixed up with other loaves of bread. So now what's the shayla? What's the status of the mixture? The Rabbanan say, kulan asuros. The Rabbanan will say, all of the loaves are prohibited. Rabbi Eliezer holds, yolich hanali amelch. We'll say, yolich hanali amelch means, take the value of one of the loaves, which represents the prohibited loaf, and discard it. This way, again, you're getting no financial benefit from the prohibited loaf, but after that, all of the loaves themselves become permitted. So the Gemara says, Amru lo, so they said to Rabbi Eliezer, ain't polding avodas kochavim, right? Ultimately, again, you can't redeem avodah zara. Or is this idea of taking the money and throwing it into Yamelech is a very nice idea, but you can't redeem avodah zara. To which the Gemara says, Rabbanan de pligi alei Rabbi Eliezer maninu. Who are the rabbis who argue on Rabbi Eliezer? Ilema Rabbanan de Eitzim. So I'll say, if you want to say that that's the Rabbanan, ultimately, again, by the case of the Eitzim, Achmurei Machmiri, Terebosa, they've already known ultimately again to be Machmir in the case of Avodah Zarah. Ella Rabbanan de Sa'ar. Rather, Rabbosa, you have to say that it's the Rabbanan of Sa'ar, of the case that we just had before, of the Sa'ar of Chum and the Sa'ar of Chul that fall into the Isa. Eimer de Shamusul Rabbanan de Makili bisa'ar. So it could be that Rabbanan are makel by Zevas and Gorin by a case of Sa'ar, but who's to say that they're makel by Avodah Zarah? El the Olam, Ha Rabbi Yosi Vaharabbanan. Rather, Rabbi Yosi, now we go all the way back, Rabbi Yosi. So rather, you have to say at the end of the day, it's like what we started with, which is that the machlokis of Zevas and Gorin is really a machlokis between Rabbi Yosi and the Rabbanan. I will say that Rabbi Yossi holds that Zev Zegorim is going to be Aser, that when you have two causative factors, which result, with one of them being prohibited, one of them being permitted, which result in the final product will be Aser, the Rabbanan holds Zev Zegorim is Mutter. So the Gemara says, and Rabbi Yossi, Lidivrehem de Rabbanan Amr Luhu. And Rabbi Yossi, I will say, ultimately, again, is espousing his Shita in accordance with the words of the Rabbanan. How so? He says to them the following, Amr Luhu, Lididi, Zev Zegorim Mutter. So Rabbi Yossi will say the following. According to me, I actually hold that Zev Zegorim is mutter. Lididachu da amrisu Zev Zegorim aser, odu li mihas afirakos mimos agishamim. Says Rabbi Yossi to them, but according to you, who hold Zev Zegorim is aser, at least admit to me regarding the case of the vegetables that grow under the Asherah tree during the winter. V'rabbonon kida'amrav mari breid rav kana. They will say, the Rabbonon will respond to Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi will say, at least admit to me, that in the case of the vegetables which grow underneath the Asherah during the winter, that they should be, bless you, that they should be prohibited. Why? Because even though they're not benefiting from the shade, they are benefiting from what? They're benefiting from the leaves, from the fertilizer. And the Rabbanan will say no, Kida'amarav Mari Breid Rav Kahana. We'll say, the Rabbanan will go ahead and respond, like Rav Mari Breid Rav Kahana. We'll say, what's Rav Mari Breid Rav Kahana? We'll say, that's the case we saw yesterday with the skinning of the animal, right? Where Rav Mari Breid Rav Kahana says that what you gain on one end with the flaying of the animal from the feet, you lose out ultimately again by compromising the basar. So to the Rabbanan say, what you gain, so to speak, from the fertilizer, from the fallen leaves, you lose what? Through the shade, which is detrimental during the rainy season. So this is actually a very interesting halacha. So in Yaradeya, Kuf Mem Beis, Seif Yud Aleph, 142 in Yaradeya. So halacha, also listen to this. And this indeed is halacha lemaisa. Shulchan Aruch Paskins. Mutter lita tachas ha'ashira yurakos. Bein bimos ha'chama shem tzvichan l'tzel. Bein bimos ha'gishamim. So also listen to this. So ultimately, again, Shulchan Aruch Paskins, that you are permitted to go ahead and plant vegetables underneath an asherah tree, whether it's during the summer or during the winter. Amazing. During the summer, during the winter. Why? So the Gemara says, "Mipnei shetzel ha'ashtera shu aser imakarka shein aseres." Because Rabbi say, in the creation of these vegetables, there are two things that aid in the creation of the vegetables. There is the prohibited shade of the Asherah tree, right? Or for that matter, Rabbi say, so the shade, let's say the shade is beneficial during the summer, or the leaves which are beneficial during the winter, and the soil. The soil itself, of course, is permitted. So Rabbi say, what do you have? You have the zeh goreim. You have the zeh of the soil, which is permitted, ultimately the zeh of the Asherah, which, let's say, during the summer, you have the shade, which is beneficial. During the winter, you have the leaves, which are beneficial. They contribute. So we'll say, what's the halacha? The chol davar she'isser v'davar mutter garmim lo, hare ze mutter b'chol mach. Rabbi Yossi says the Shulchan Aruch, ze v'ze gorim is mutter. Any time in the creation of an entity, you have two forces, one which is permitted, one which is prohibited, the resulting product, I will say, ultimately will be permitted. Therefore, if you plant vegetables underneath the Asherah tree, whether you're doing it during the winter, whether you're doing it during the summer, the resulting vegetables will be mutter. Similarly, says the Shulchan Aruch, lefichach, sadeh sheniz shezibla, Bezevel shavodus kochavim mutter lizroa osa parashe pitma bekarshin avodus kochavim teachal dechein kol kiyotze bazeh. Therefore, Moshe says the Shulchan Aruch as well that if you have a field which is fertilized by an animal of avodah zarah, or somebody fed your animal avodah zarah food, the halach is that what the field is permitted. Ultimately, again, your cow is permitted because Moshe we paskin ze vze goreim is mutter, and that is indeed halach lemaisa brought down in Yar. Good. So let's go back there. I hope Ginta this double bezam davolus kochavim. There was a particular farmer who went ahead and fertilized his field with the fertilizer of avodah zarah. So again, this case is avzegorim. You have prohibited fertilizer, but what? Permitted soil. So says the Gemara. Shalach Rav Amram kamei Rav Yosef. Amar lehachi Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel halacha Rav Yosi. Then he sent Rav Yosef and he said ultimately again. The halacha follows Rabbi Yossi. So we'll say it turns out that Rabbi Yossi actually holds that Zev is Zegorim is Mutter. And we'll say that is indeed how we paskin halacha l'maisa. Good. We'll say says the Mishnah base. So we already got a sneak peek of this Mishnah because the Gemara quoted it before. So says the Gemara as follows. Says the Mishnah as follows. We'll say Mem Tes on the base. Natal mimena eitzim asura b'ano. So we'll listen to this. If I took wood from an Asherah tree, so that wood, that wood will be asur b'ano. If I then took the Asherah wood, Rabbi Yossi, what happens? I fired up an oven. So now, what's the status? Im chadash yutatz. So Rabbi Yossi, remember again, if this is a brand new oven, now what's the definition of a brand new oven? An oven which is brand new. Oh, what does that mean, Rabbi Yossi? That a fire has never been fired up inside of it. That's what makes it brand new. So it's just been formed. This is now the first firing up, as we just said before. The oven is only considered to be completed, right, once it's fired up. So now this is the first, and this is actually, so this is not just the firing up of the oven, but this is a completion of the kli. The kli itself is being solidified through avodah zarah. Therefore, again, in chadash yutatz. So also, therefore, if it's a brand new oven that is being fired up for the first time with wood of avodah zarah, ultimately, again, it must be destroyed. Vim yashan, I will say, what happens if it's an older oven? So, yutzan. Then I will say, I can't use it again until when? Until it cools. See, I will say, because interestingly enough, in earthenware ovens, even after the fire went out, there was residual heat in the walls of the oven, which allowed you to cook in it as well. So I will say, so again, if I cook once the fire goes out, I can't get benefit from the residual heat of the oven, which was caused by wood of avodah zarah. Therefore, I have to wait till the oven cools down to use it again. Off a boss apas, but if I went ahead and I baked bread inside this oven, asura, again, I'll say, still same case. This is all with Asherah wood, all with avodah zarah wood. Ultimately, again, the bread is going to be asur. Excuse me, off a boss apas, asur b'ano. So the bread will be asur b'ano. Nis'arva b'achiros, so we'll say, let's say I make that loaf, and that loaf gets mixed in with other loaves. Kulon asuros b'ano. We'll say, all of the loaves will be asur b'ano. So again, in this case, I took Asherah wood, fired up an oven, baked bread in the oven. That resulting loaf is asur. If that loaf now gets mixed in with other loaves, so that's what Rabbanan say, it's no longer discernible from the other permitted loaves, the Rabbanan say they are all asur b'ano. Rabbi Eliezer says, no, you have to do that. Yolech ha'no le'amamelech. He says, take the benefit and throw it into the Yamalchut, which also means as follows. Let's say, for argument's sake, a loaf of bread is $5. So what does Rabbi Elazar say? Rabbi says, now here's the problem. The problem is, in front of me now, I have 15 loaves. One of them is prohibited, right? 14 are permitted. So I, bittel. Also remember again, bittel doesn't work by Avodah Zarah. Avodah Zarah is never bottle. But Rabbi Elazar says, what you can do is take $5, and throw it away. Throwing it into Yam HaMelech, Rabbi says, an expression. It means throw it away in a way which you get no benefit. Throw it into a fire. Throw it into whatever it is. Discard the benefit. Thereby, I am not benefiting from Avodah Zarah in any way. Yolech Hanol Yam HaMelech. Amrulo. So the rabbi said, that's very nice, but ain't pinyon la'avodas kochavim. But say you can't redeem idolatry. In other words, the idea of taking $5 and throwing it to Yamalach is a very nice idea. Essentially, what you're trying to do is you're trying to redeem the prohibited loaf by going ahead and what? Discarding any financial benefit you may get. That's fine, but it doesn't work. Not to him in a karkor. But say, listen to this. Let's say you took from the Asherah. Karkar, I will say, is a weaver's pick. The idea is that when somebody is weaving, so they have the string on a loom, you would have like a little piece of wood, like a pick, just to go ahead and align the pieces of wool on the loom. So what's that look? I will say, Asrabano. So obviously, again, I can't use the pick, right? It's Asrabano. However, Arag Boaz HaBeged, I will say, let's say I use the pick in the creation of weaving a garment. Asrabano. The garment itself will be Asrabano, why Rabosai? Because halacha lemaisa, it was formed with the pick of Avodah Zarah, with wood of Avodah Zarah. So the Gemara says, Asrabano, this Ari Bachirin, Bachirin, Bachirin. Bosai, let's say now this garment got mixed in with other garments. This garment which was made with the pick of Avodah Zarah got mixed in with other garments. Kulon Asrabano. Bosai, the entire mixture of garments becomes Asrabano. Remember, no rove by Avodah Zarah, because Avodah Zarah is never bottled. Rabbi Eliezer, Omer Yolech Yilam HaMelech. Same thing. We're going to ask this case into the same exact thing as the bread case. There's no difference between the garment case and the bread case. Rabbi Eliezer says, no, let's say the garment is worth $20. Just take $20, throw it into Yilam HaMelech, and Gamarnu. We're good. In other words, so you're no longer benefiting from anything to do with Avodah Zarah. To which the Gemara says, Amru Lo, in Pigyon La'avodas Kochavim. So we'll say, ultimately, again, they said to Rabbi Eliezer, there is no pigyon, there is no redemption, ultimately, again, for Avodas Kochavim. And therefore, again, everything is going to remain usur. So we'll say, now the Gemara begins with a very simple question. Rabbi Eliezer seems to be saying the same thing on both cases. We'll say, meaning the machlokes seems to be exactly the same. Which is what? Which is halacha lemaisa, if you have something created with Avodah Zarah, and now what? And now you want to go ahead, you make something with it. Whether it's bread, or whether it's a garment. So I will say, then that finished product is usur. If it gets mixed in with other things, the Rabbanan say the entire mixture is usur. Rabbi Eliezer says, take the value of the prohibited item and essentially discard it, and the mixture becomes permitted. So the Gemara asks, okay, I got it. Why do you need both cases of the bread and the weaver's pick? It's the same concept both times. Why do I need both? Utsricha. She's going to tell you why I need both. V'yashmina kamaisa, because if we would have just had the first case by the bread, v'hakam Rabbi Eliezer mishum deba idna dekagamra pas, I would have thought maybe Rabbi Elias is just makel in the case of the bread. Rabbi will say why? Because at this point in time, when the bread is finished, the isser is gone. What do you mean? I'll say the isser is gone. The isser, which is the wood, right, is gone. It's burnt up, it's incinerated. So maybe because the isser no longer exists, therefore it could be a little bit more makel with the bread. And Yolechan al Yamamelach, Aval Karkur, in the case of the weaver's pick, where the object is still in existence, maybe Rabbi Eliezer agrees that therefore the garment, which was created with the pick, which is still in existence, will not be bottle. The Iash Mu'inah and Karkor, and I will say, if we would have just said the case of the weaver's pick, maybe it's only in that case that Rabbanan say that ultimately, again, the garment can never be bottle. Aval pas, maybe in the case of bread, Ema Modi Le Rabbi Eliezer. I would have thought that perhaps, again, they would be Modi to Rabbi Eliezer. Therefore, I will say both cases are Tzricha. Both cases ultimately again, are necessary. Amar Rabbi Chiya Bar Rava, Bar Nachmani, Amar Rabbi Chista, Amar Ziri. Halacha, Rabbi Eliezer. So we'll see, you have all of these. So again,
Rabbi Chiya Berei D'Rabba says the name of all these other individuals, Rav Chista Ziri, that the halacha follows Rabbi Eliezer. Rosa, namely, that if you have this prohibited item, right, meaning this item which was created with Avodah Zarah, that item subsequently goes ahead and gets mixed in with other items than just Yolich Hanol Yamamelach. All you need to do, Rabbi Eliezer, to permit the mixture is what? Take the value of the prohibited item, discard that value, and the mixture is permitted. Rabbi say, what does that mean when you do that? What that effectively does is what? I am no longer benefiting from Avodah Zarah. In other words, when I take the value of that loaf of bread, or I take the value of that garment, and I discard it, the rest of the mixture becomes permitted, and I am no longer benefiting from anything to do with Avodah Zarah. So the Gemara says, Amrav Chista, Amr li Abba Barav Chista, Hachi Amr Ziri, Halacha Kerabi Eliezer. Okay, Rabbi say, another statement to back this up. Good. Rav Adbarava, Lo Shana Elapas. Rav Adbarava said that this case, right, is only talking about when we speak about that the halacha follows Rabbi Eliezer, we're talking about the case of bread. Aval Chavis Lo. But I will say, not in the case of a barrel of wine. All right, we'll discuss what this means in just a moment. So the Gemara says, Rav Chista Amar Afilu Chavis Mutaras. And Rav Chista says, Rav, what's the chilik between bread and wine? So the Pashas, the difference would be as follows. The case of bread, Rav Chista, is an entity which was created with Avodah Zarah. So meaning the wood itself was Avodah Zarah, which helped to bake the bread. But the bread itself, Rav Chista, becomes usher because it was made with Avodah Zarah, as opposed to Yai Nesech, which Rav Chista is what? Is what? Is Avodah Zarah itself. Right? Or can be Avodah Zarah itself. So I might have thought that Rabbi Eliezer's logic of Yolech Hanol Yamamelech only applies to objects which were created with Avodah Zarah, but that's something like Yayin Nesech itself. Kamashlan says, the Gemara that Norav Chis says, even in the case of Chavis, Rabbi Eliezer's logic will still stand. Hu Gavra, this Arif Lechavisa di Yayin Nesech Bechamre. Well, said there was a man who had a bunch of barrels of wine, and one barrel of Yayin Nesech got mixed in with his other barrels. So the Gemara says, "Asle kamei Rav Chista." So he came before Rav Chista, and Rav Chista told him, "Shakol arba zuzei v'shadi binara v'nishteri lach." And Rav Chista told him, essentially, "Yolech chanal yamamelach, take the value of one barrel of wine, throw it into the yamamelach, and the rest of the mixture will be permitted to you." And Rabbi say, "This is indeed how the Shulchan Aruch paskins." Shulchan Aruch talks about the case of the bread, case of the garment, and bottom line says the following: the case of the bread, the Shulchan Aruch writes, "Yolech chanal nisar b'acheres yolech de me'osa hapas liyamamelach ushar haki karos mutarin." Rabbi say, "All I need to do is halacha l'maisa, go ahead and take the value of the object, throw it into Yamamelech, and I could go ahead and get benefits from the rest of the mixture." Okay, well, so we paskin at the end of the day, like Rabbi Eliezer in the Mishnah. Vayter, Mishnah. Ketzad mevatla. So we'll say, ultimately, again, how was one mevatl the Asherah? Right? How could one be mevatl the Asherah? So it says the Gemara, kir seim vizireit, snotl memena makilo sharvit, afilo Allah, hare zebatla. So we'll say, if a person went ahead and pruned it, or trimmed it, or took from it, literally made from it a makel, right, a staff for himself, afilo Allah, or even if he just took off a leaf, so we'll say, what's talocha, hare zebitla. Ultimately, again, he's mevatl the Asherah. Sheep Allah tzarcha, however, if you went ahead and you removed things from it for the benefit of the tree, Asura. Shalom b'tzarcha muteras. So essentially what the Mishnah says as follows. This goes back to what we saw yesterday. Remember again the Gemara says, how do you know if you come across a tree, how can you tell if it's stam an Asherah tree? If you see the priest sitting underneath it and what? They don't partake of the fruit. So we'll say in general again an Asherah tree was off limits. So the simple way to be mevatel an Asherah tree, Rabbi says, how? Is you go ahead and you remove a piece of the tree. You remove branches. Not for the sake of the tree, but just because A, you're going to destroy them, or B, because you're going to use them. That, by definition, is bittul of the tree. So if you go ahead and you prune it, or you trim it, or you remove things from it for the benefit of the tree, then I'll say, ultimately, again, you're not mevatel it. But if you're just removing it, stamped to remove it to the purpose of removing it, not for the sake of the Avodah Zarah, that, by definition, is the bittul of the tree. Says the Gemara, Osen Shafon Matei Alehen. So let's listen to this. Let's say again, there's a case of where somebody pruned the Asherah tree for the benefit of the tree.
I guess at some point in time, even the Ovdei Avodah Zarah would prune the tree. So I'll say, here's the Shaila. What's the status of the prunings? Right? What's the status of those branches which were pruned from the Asherah tree? Are they permitted or prohibited? So pligi b'rafun r'vachiyah. Barav. Chad amar asurin, v'chad amar mutar. So we'll say it's machlokes. Machlokes Rav Huna and Rav Chiya Barav. One said mutar, one said asur. So it says the Gemara, Tanya Kiman amar mutarin. So ultimately, again, it would seem to be a brisa supports the one who says that it's mutar d'sanyo, Ovid kochavim sheshif avodas kochavim letzarcho. That if an Ovid kochavim rabosai went ahead and pruned or trimmed the tree, letzarcho. Rabosai letzarcho means for his own use, for his own benefit. He ushefa eha mutarin. So we'll say ultimately again, the tree as well as its trimmings will be permitted. Why rabosai? Because if an Ovid kochavim goes ahead and trims the tree for his own benefit, and rabosai, what is he effectively doing? What is he doing? He's being mavatal the avodah zarah. So that which he prunes is going to be permitted, and the tree itself, rabosai, is now bitul umavotal as well. Litzarcha, if he pruned the tree for its own benefit, hi asura, the tree will still remain prohibited. Ushifa eha mutarin. Rabosai, ultimately, again, that which he pruned will be mutar. On the other hand, the Yisrael sheshif avodah zarah, rabosai, if Yisrael went ahead and pruned the tree, pruned the asherah, Bein letzarcha, bein letzarcho. Whether he went ahead and he pruned it for his own benefit or for the tree's benefit, he ushefa'eha asurin. Both the tree as well as that which was trimmed from it will be asur. Rabosai, the idea over here is because remember, Yisrael doesn't have the ability to be mevatel and avodas kochavim. So itmar, avodas kochavim shenishtabra. Rabosai, let's go back to something we learned before. What about an avodas kochavim, Rabosai, that just broke? Rabosai, we've seen this case. It broke on its own. So we'll say, what's the status? Rav Amar, tzarech levatel kol kisim v'kisim. Rav says, Rabosai, that you have to go ahead and what? You have to be actively be mevatel every single piece. Look at Rashi. Rav Amar, afa pishen is ba, shenishtabra me'ale, even though it broke on its own, tzricha bitel, the kol kisim v'kisim nasis avodus kochavim b'fnei atzmo, hilchach losagi lechad bebitul dechavrei. So I'll say ultimately again, when it breaks, every single piece becomes an avodas kochavim, and therefore again, every single piece ultimately again needs its own bitul. Ushmul amr Shmuel says, no, avodas kochavim ina betela, ela derech gidelasa. So Shmuel says, this is a very cryptic statement. Shmuel says, avodas kochavim could only become bottle in the way that it normally grows. What does that mean in the words? Adrabba, derech gidilasa mimavatla. Rabosai, if an avodah zarah breaks in the normal course of the way that it grows, Rabosai, you know, the paradigmatic case of an avodah zarah breaking the way that it grows is how? Is a leaf falling off of an asherah tree. Rabosai, that's quote unquote breakage, but that's the normal part. Now we know that when avodah zarah breaks in that fashion, Rabosai, what's the halacha? The halacha is it still retains its avodah zarah identity, right? Again, that's why we got into the whole issue of the vegetables underneath the asherah tree. Halacha, you know, this is what it means to say, Ein avodas kochavim tzricha levata, ela derech gidei lasa. What Shmuel and Tzir both say is that avodas kochavim only needs bittul, only if it experiences breakage in the normal fashion. But if it experiences breakage in any type of abnormal fashion, then by definition it is bittul and mevutul. And I will say the reason behind that is why? Because remember again, Shmuel will say that when the avodas, we saw this before, when the avodas zarah breaks, I will say, and it breaks on its own, so the person who serves it says to himself, listen, if this avodas zarah can't go ahead and what? Save itself from just breakage, then what? Certainly can't save me, and it's going to stop worshipping it. So I'll say, fundamental machlokes, Rav and Shmuel. When the avodah zarah breaks on its own, Rav says every single piece still needs bittul. Shmuel says it does not. Nima b'hakam eflagi. We'll see, maybe they're arguing about the following point. Demar savar ovdin l'shvarim, umar savar ein ovdin l'shvarim. We'll see, maybe what they're arguing about, we'll say, is, do ovdi kochavim worship avodah zarah shards? If the avodah zarah breaks, do they worship the pieces or not? No, it's not true. Everybody agrees that what? Ovdei kochavim do worship even the shards of their avodah zarah, even if it breaks. V'acha b'shivrei shvarim kamiflegi. It was here's what they're arguing about. Do they go ahead and do they worship the shards of the shards? Or is it if the avodah zarah breaks into pieces and the pieces break into smaller pieces, do they worship the smaller pieces? Marasar v'shivrei shvarim asurim. One opinion says that shivrei shvarim asurim. Marasar v'shivrei shvurim mutarim. V'ibayisim. We'll say that's one possibility what they're arguing about. V'ibayisim. The other possibility is the chuli alma shivrei shvarim mutarim. Everybody agrees that the shards of the shards will be mutar. V'acha ba'avodas kochavim shel chulios. And I will say here, ultimately, again, What are they arguing about? About an avodah zarah, said it's made of pieces. By definition, it's made of interlocking pieces. It's a type of avodah zarah, where even if it comes apart, it's easy to go ahead and reassemble it. You don't need to be an expert. Anybody can reassemble it. So now what happens? That avodah zarah falls apart. Mar savar, kevan dehedjot yachol achzir labatla. So we'll say one holds that in that case where the avodah zarah is made up of pieces and it falls down and it breaks, but it can be easily reassembled. So since anybody can reassemble it, therefore again the ovid avodah zarah is not mevatel it, even though it's broke because it's easily put back together. It's not batel. Umar savar in avodah zarah betela ela derech gidei lasa dahinu orchei. Whereas the other opinion, which Pastor Shmuel holds, that what? A Novi Kochavim is only not batal, but say if it breaks in a normative fashion, what we call Derech Gidei Lasa, like the leaf falling off the tree. But any time the Avodah Zarah breaks in a non-normative fashion, i.e. just falls down and breaks, that the Avodah Zarah is automatically batal and doesn't require any additional level of bittul. And indeed, the way you pass the halacha lemaisa is like the Mishnah, that if an Ovid Kochavim takes any piece of the Asherah, a branch, whatever it is, and he uses it, right, not for the purpose of the for the benefit of the Asherah tree itself, that by definition goes ahead and affects bittul. But I will say, if the Asherah tree, if the Avodah Zarah breaks on its own, we pass in like Rav, that the Ovid Kochavim have to be mevatel, even the Shvar. Alright, the Vosei Hadron Alach Kol Atzlamim, we'll start the new parak in Eretz Hashem tomorrow. Davening here. We'll say the heat is not working in the shul, so Eretz Hashem are going to be davening in here. Not working at all. Not working at all.
It's not moving, so I think the pilot probably blew up, so we have to kind of...